Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares miraculous stories of healing and the afterlife, along with insights into the universal laws of energy. The benefit for applying this information about your inner spiritual wisdom and empowered intuition for your daily life is to create health, greater happiness, prosperity, and love in your everyday life experiences. Today I welcome Robin L. Reynolds, author of Let Them Know That I Am Here, which is a story of life after death demonstrated with beautiful spirit photography from around the world. Hello, Robin.
Hi, Cheryl.
You know, Robin, as most listeners of Healing From Within are aware, we seek to empower our listeners to observe and utilize more of their total life energy force, both of their spiritual or inner being and also the physical world and their human life experience. It is in understanding the separation of our twin energy forces, the spiritual and physical, that we can return to oneness, unity, and truth, and live a life of purpose and personal growth. Knowledge is indeed the key to expanding our awareness and to living well. And this leads us to self-investigation of our emotions and understanding everything about energy and who we really are. So in today's episode of Healing From Within, Robin will share how a devastating loss began a journey to clarity and wisdom and to some of the mysteries and magic of life itself. Robin, I usually ask my guests to think back for a moment to a childhood memory or experience, as I believe our life plan and destiny are written, perhaps in the wind and stars and eternal nature of life, before our souls are even born into this physical world. So sometimes the values, interests, and pursuits or challenges later in life are already there and may be clear to us even as young children or to others around us. So think back for a minute when you were a child. What were some of your interests?
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I had two best friends, both with the same name. One's father died and one's mother died. I graduated from a very large class. We had over 1,000 people in our graduating class. And so we experienced a lot of death there, too. And I can remember my father saying to me one afternoon that I had seen more death in my short life than most people, you know, saw, you know, their whole adult lives. So I think that definitely was a clue that it was going to be something that I would be dealing with.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So your sensitivities and your awareness were already put in high gear. And I had the opposite as a child. I didn't even think death existed. I couldn't even fathom the concept, because somewhere in my own soul or spirit, I knew that something survived physical death, even though I could not put the pieces together yet or explain it to other people. And I had very little of that around me, and lo and behold, I became an energy healer and a medium who downloads information from spirit to loved ones to prove that something survives physical death. So see, we were both given indications that there was something to come, but we couldn't make sense of it till more of the pieces of the puzzle came to pass. So please tell us something of your family life and Kyle, your son, that you remember with love, and something about his passing.
Okay. So I want to follow up on that first question, because I love that question. I think that's fantastic. And it does kind of put things into perspective. I was raised Catholic. I fought my father tooth and nail on it. And I mean, it was awful. it was awful for both of us. Because I didn't embrace it. The other thing is that I also saw...
Well, Robin, let me interrupt you for a minute here. I have had many, many guests over the last 5 years on the show, And whatever religion the people were in, they felt the same way as children, that they could not embrace the limitations of structure and stories, that perhaps were missing the greater truth that could only be known in a personal experience and a personal connection to God or spirit, which comes in a different way than being taught from a book. Stories that hold some truth, but not all the truth. So I understand that very well that you said that. I, as a child, had the same feeling when I went into temple. I said, this is not right. Something is not resonating with me. I almost have to laugh at it. It's like they're grown-up people, and they're not getting the whole story here. So, yes, so don't feel bad about that.
No, I don't. It's interesting, though, because the other thing is I did see auras as a child, and I saw spirits in the auras, and I always thought of those as spirit guides. And not so much our dearly departed. But what was interesting about that was shortly after Kyle died, I remember having a conversation with my father where he said to me, I understand now why you had to fight me the way that you did in terms of the religious upbringing. Because had you accepted the teachings that we were trying, you know, to teach you, you would not be able to be having the relationship or the experiences that you're having now. And I found that to be neat. So to answer your second question is to share a little bit about our experience and what happened. Our story is one that began in tragedy, which unfortunately is the way a lot of people's spiritual journeys begin. We lost my partner Connie's son, Kyle, who was 20, and it was, you know, the middle of the night phone call and then the coroner and the sheriff at the door. And the moment that I walked around the door to go into the kitchen where Connie was with them, I knew that Kyle was dead, but more than that, I knew that moment because I had had that moment my whole life. And because I had that moment, I knew I had to pay attention, because if I had carried that moment with me my whole life, then we were all here for a reason. And it was important, and I had to pay attention.
In other words, you had a sense of destiny being fulfilled, and that we have a time to be here and a time to leave.
And I had that struggle because in that grief, you're empty, right?
Yes.
And I couldn't understand how I could be so empty, because he was a part of who I am. And even if he wasn't in the same room or even the same state as I was in, he was always there. So just because he died, why was I that empty? So I began to ask to feel him. And that then brought about that sense.
Yes, because when you ask to know, the question is always answered. So you began to have experiences and to feel him around you. Now, it sounds to me also like you're referring to a thought about what is known as the Akashic Records, or the quantum informational field which exists, where all souls and all thoughts and past, present, and future all reside. And we are able to access this place. And spirit is able to lower their vibration. They function at a higher vibration when they're not in a physical body. And they are able to lower it. And if we allow ourselves to be in a quiet state in meditation, we can raise our vibration. And we sort of can meet at this level, a place known as the Akashic Records. And in my new book, The Living Spirit, I address the fact that consciousness does survive physical death. And through the readings I have shared with families, downloading messages of love from that dimension, I have hoped to let them know their loved ones not only survive, but are living a quality life that is more open-minded and expansive than what we have in a physical world. And I wrote something about that. Spirit allows us to face challenging situations that our energy, emotions, and thoughts bring into our lives and help us to see that we are on the right or wrong track. Therefore, we are co-creating our life by observing what is happening and by seeing how to make the best of any situation. Through our faith and the surrender of some of our personal needs, We allow the universe and a higher source to help us find ways to search and remember our already preconceived destiny and life plan. And you were already doing it. You were doing it long before you knew that you would have the experience. It was already in your soul and in your life plan. And you learned to find out that it's not a bad thing. So go on to tell us when you began to realize that Kyle had left the physical world, he still existed, and you wanted to have proof or means to feel and access his energy or his presence. And how did you find a way to accomplish this spiritual communication? And you did.
I did. I had begun to ask to feel him. And in the first few weeks after his death, I had this sensation on my shin, and I couldn't decide if it tickled or it itched, but I knew I had to scratch it. And one afternoon, I was washing dishes, and my shin was, you know, was itching.
I'm going to say it might have been vibrating. It might have been his vibration causing a vibration in your physical leg. Go on. Yes.
So I leaned over to scratch it, and when I did, I had this this vision, if you will. It was just like a 3D, you know, like he's standing in front of me, and it's Connie. And what Connie used to do with Kyle is she would grab his cheeks, you know, with her thumb on one side and her fingers on the other, and she'd squeeze until his lips would pop out like a fish, and she'd kiss him. And on cue, when she finished, he would bring his hand up, and he'd use the back of his hand, and he would, you know, wipe it across his lips, and she would say to him every time, "Are you wiping my kiss off?" And he would smile, and he would say, "No, I'm rubbing it in." And I was like, and I get chills every time I retell that story, but in that moment, I was like, "Kyle, I get your message. I have asked to feel you, and you have answered me literally." And I said, "I am not scratching this, you know, I am rubbing it in." And I never had that sensation again. But he continued to communicate in different ways, and I paid attention to everything. Like, it was the funniest thing. For months afterwards, I would say to Connie, "Now, I've never had a strawberry shake in my life, but all I wanted was a strawberry shake," and that's what he drank, and that was him saying,
"Yeah,
I'm here."
Yeah, spirit talks to us in many, many ways. I'm a medium. So I have these sensations all the time when I'm doing readings for a person, and sometimes when I am just sitting here peacefully minding my own business, a thought, a vision, or a memory will come in, and I always know it's a loved one, a guide, a teacher, or someone in spirit, an angel, who is communicating and letting me know once again, over and over, that we're not alone, and love exists forever, eternally, because we're eternal. And you had other things happen to you. I know you say you were in a car, and you had another sensation on your thigh. Not on, you know.
It was him, and it was his hand on my thigh, and that was amazing too, because I had never experienced any of these things prior to him leaving, but I was open to experiencing him. I wasn't ready to give him up just because his physical body left.
Well,
I wasn't willing to do
Robin, I think you were born with a more heightened sense of this ability, and that's why you had loss as a child. That's why your father said what he said to you when he realized how you were going to use your natural ability to sense spirit and to sense now Kyle, because you already had a heightened sense of that. It was already a gift, a spiritual gift to you that you were able to use when you needed it the most. Now, I had to develop that gift over many years many teachers and being in meditation groups and studying Reiki energy healing, which opened up my channels to be able to download messages in many different ways. I can feel it, I can smell it, I can hear music, many of the things you said you sensed, I do on a regular basis. But it didn't happen overnight, and I never even believed in these things long ago. I didn't even think it was possible. So we all have this ability to develop it further. It is a natural gift from spirit that we all have. But you can tell us more about a nonprofit company, Child Spirit Institute, set up by a couple whose child speaks with spirit. I found that very interesting that you were drawn to that and it helped you understand things more fully. So tell us about that.
It was such a blessing for me to hook up with them. I started having these experiences, and I didn't know anybody who had these experiences. I didn't know what to do with them, but I wanted them to go on. I wanted to develop these experiences. So I got on the internet and I found them and I called. And even though, they weren't doing what I was doing, because they in fact had young children that were talking to spirit, and they were looking for ways. For other parents to help these children so that they didn't feel like that they were that they were doing something wrong, and they wanted to help develop them. So Mary invited me to go do some meditations, and the meditations proved to be absolutely phenomenal. In the first one that we did, she told us, what to do, and we did that. And part of that was to go into the spirit world and ask for somebody there to help us. And I had a spirit guide that came, and I began to speak with her, but I didn't understand. I couldn't hear what she had to say, but I could see her lips moving. So Mary, in the meditation, came in and spoke to this guide. And when we came out of the meditation, she asked to speak to me, and she told me that she had spoken to my guide. And you could have picked me up off the floor, because I knew. I knew she had spoken, because I watched them speak. So it was fascinating that you said at the beginning, that this is all about knowing. And that's the book, Let Them Know. Because there's a difference between believing and knowing, and I believe.
Right.
I know. Right? That it's
yes.
All in the experience. It's a
knowing,
right?
Knowing is having the experience, the personal reality. Believing
right.
is thinking you can learn from somebody else's experience or the written word. But I want to go back to the children for a minute, because the other day, my granddaughter, who's six, she's a twin. She's been disturbed at night a little bit and waking up, and she's a little scared, and she feels something, maybe like what you felt, some energy on her. And she said to me, I know there are things that are real, even though we might not see them.
Right.
I said, that's absolutely true. Before there were microscopes, we didn't see the bacteria in water or an atom. And before there
right.
were telescopes, we couldn't see some of the suns and planets in the universe. So, yes, you're very right. Sometimes we just know that it exists and it's real. And that's what these children were sensing and feeling. And it is a world of energy and a reality of life and dimensions and layers of life that we are now becoming more aware of, the study of quantum physics and understanding that the atom is almost empty except for a small spark of electrical force. And that's what we are. We're spiritual beings. And most
mm-hmm.
of what we see and imagine are just thought processes, and the past, the present, and future all conspiring together. So someone we love might be in another energy dimension close to us. They're just maybe not in a physical body, but we can
right.
know they're there, as you knew they were there. Now, who was Mary? You mentioned Mary, and she helped you with the meditation to meet your spirit guide,
right.
one of your spirit guides, because we have many spirit guides.
Yes. So she's the woman that started this institute. She and her husband
Oh, so it was their daughter.
Yes.
All right, it was their daughter, and they wanted their daughter to grow up and develop this gift and not be afraid of it and not be ridiculed for it and not shut down, because many, many children have experiences, but if parents don't honor their experiences, they will shut down and something will be lost. A little part of their soul or spirit will be lost, and we don't want that to happen to anyone. So you said you started to read Deepak Chopra and you were becoming familiar with the world is within us. So in theory, you see yourself in the world and you can see the whole world in yourself, but you couldn't yet assimilate that. That's a big idea. It's kind of hard to know the universe is within us and we are within the universe. In other words, the mind of God or spirit or energy is within us, and we are within that. So we're all one, in essence, and create.
Right.
Yeah, right. So
yeah.
That would be. Yeah, we can grasp that. Now you
tell.
But
it kind of goes back to the message too that the spirit guide from that meditation gave to Mary, and that was Mary said, you know, you always hear people say, I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it, right? That's what people say.
Yes.
When in fact, it's the other way around. When you believe it, you will see it.
Ah.
So when you, right, and it goes back to the energy that you were talking about as well, because we're all energy. So if we're closing any type of flow, we're not going to see it. But if we're open to it, which I was from the moment that I walked around that corner, then I believe, right, and I'm allowing things to flow, and I will begin to see that, and that was just a fascinating realization for me, and especially at the beginning of this journey, because it allowed me to ask for things that I should not or I would not have done. But don't think for a minute though that I didn't have pause throughout the journey, because when we ask Kyle to appear as a physical object, okay, that some people would call them auras or you know spirit balls,
No, tell us, you asked him to appear, and what did you really see?
Well, what happened was I, you know, we made sure we were busy on a particular weekend that we knew we were going to do something with Kyle, and we knew we would crash and burn if we didn't stay busy. So we went out of state with some friends, and we asked Kyle to join us and to validate that he had indeed joined us. So in that request for the validation was the first time we asked him to appear in a picture in the state that he was now, right? So when we got to the hotel room, we were going downstairs to meet our friends. I grabbed the camera, but the batteries were dead. Okay, now, this is a mistake some people do. I did it. I thought, oh, I asked for too much. I never should have asked for that. Instead, what I should have done was just change the batteries, right?
That's
it. I put the camera back, and I went downstairs. We're not downstairs a couple minutes, and our friend says, hey, you guys, pause, you know, pose for a picture. Connie and I looked at each other. We were like, oh, my gosh. You know, like, we asked for this. And whether we were open or not, the universe, Kyle, his energy, found a way to make sure that that picture was going to be taken. And sure enough, right, she took the picture at the same time that Connie and I both asked Kyle to appear. Now, we don't have the nerve to ask her to see the picture, right? Because everybody's going to think we're loopy. So silly us, we wait 3 hours before we say, hey, can we look at your camera? So in secret, you know, 3 hours later, we're sitting in this little restaurant in Las Vegas doing the first validation that Kyle gave us with spirit photography. And for me, that was really one more validation that he, in fact, continues to live his life with us. But for Kyle, it was more, because a month later, he woke me up and he's like, all right, we're really going to get into this. And we began, we began to do, and I thank him so much, because that was a game changer for me. And it's a game changer for a lot of people, because we can, as we go through, and like for me, I meet people who have lost someone they love. We connect here. And then I connect with Kyle, and I show them that I do that, and then we connect with their loved one over there.
Well, Robin, let me give you a fact here. In truth, there are 4% of mediums who actually see spiritual forms. Most others sense them, see them, feel them, hear messages, music, or smells when they meditate. But you actually did see him. And you wrote something about that. You wrote, "I have access to all that is. Everything I need is within me. I just need to ask." And you did.
Yes.
You weren't afraid. Now, I want to tell you a story because I have a story that's very similar to that. In my book, The Living Spirit, I was asked by Karen, who's a Reiki student of mine, to do a reading for her daughter, Jessica, whose 19-year-old boyfriend, Michael, had passed that day in a motorcycle accident. And I wrote, "As soon as I got off the phone with Karen, I immediately went to my office and began a meditation, hoping to connect to Michael's energy. For the next half hour, I received images and sensory perceptions from the young man, beginning with the sensation of extreme heat pulsating throughout my entire body. It felt like an embrace, and I was feeling an overwhelming wave of love Michael had for his life, his parents, and Jessica. Soon I received an image of Michael showing me the memory of the accident. I sensed that he was catapulted over the handlebars of his motorcycle, much like an athlete in the pole vault event who lifts himself high into the air, twisting and turning up over the bar. Michael's plunge was met by hard pavement. He hit head first and died quickly without any awareness of physical pain. I then sensed the concern of passerbys, followed by professionals who responded to the 9/11 calls. They were carefully cushioning Michael's head with tenderness and respect." And much like the way Kyle related his passing to you, "I also felt Michael look back, knowing others would be sad, but the beauty ahead in his new spiritual life, it seemed to call to him. He just knew it was where he had to be." And I think you know that Kyle has expressed that same love to you as a young man that this young man expressed for his family the same way that I saw and felt it. So I think we have to remember who we are at all times.
Yep.
We're much more than our physical body, and that love will be with us and around us forever and ever. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
So I want to thank you, Robin L. Reynolds, for sharing your intuitive words and the visions of your own spiritual awakening and reconnection to your son, Kyle, in the most honest and open way of your soul. Go to thetravelingsoulpress.com to purchase. Let them know that I am here. It's on Amazon also.
Yep.
Okay. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Robin and I have shared our experiences with Spirit in the most truthful way we can, hoping you will see that nothing is ever lost as we are unfolding through each experience in our physical lives into the deeper, more beautiful part of our eternal soul being. And in doing that, we illuminate our own state of love and bring into the world and beyond the world the energy of hope, compassion, love, and ultimately affect the evolution of the universe into higher states of those vibrations which enrich each of us and all of us equally. Remember this statement from the prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi, which I have included in my book. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and I invite you to visit my website to learn more about energy healing, mediumship, and the afterlife, metaphysics, science, spirituality, religion, evolution, and more about the human condition so you may enhance and improve your own life experience. Also, go to webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you very much.